Hey everybody, welcome to another retro classic episode of the Brian Keane podcast. This episode first aired on the 28th of October 2019 and is up there in the top five of all of my downloads. So I wanted to put it up today as a classic retro episode for the bonus Friday. Episode 249, Sinéad Hegarty on breakups, sex and spiritual awakening. Really enjoyable conversation. I've had Sinéad on the podcast a couple of times and she's putting out really good and authentic content for her and her message to her audience. And we got to build and connect in this episode in a way that I know helped a lot of people. So I wanted to put it up today as a bonus. Also, if you are an email fan or want to subscribe to my weekly newsletter, every Monday I put up a podcast episode, and then every Thursday I send out a newsletter to my email list, which goes through my top three takeaways from that week's podcast. So if you're curious as to what it is that I get myself from podcast episodes, I journal and write down the things that come to mind when I'm listening back to episodes, and then I pop them into an email and it goes out to my email list every single Thursday. So if you'd like to join that, just head over to briankeenefitness.com, pop your email into the newsletter, or I'll link it in the description below. You can click on and pop your email in there as well, and you will get my weekly newsletter every single Thursday. So without further ado, here is a podcast episode that first aired on the 28th of October 2019, episode 249, Sinéad Hegarty on breakup, sex and spiritual awakening. Enjoy. Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of the podcast. I'm delighted to be joined today with my guest, Sinéad Hegarty. Sinéad is a blogger who has built a social media empire thanks to her amazingly positive outlook on life. On top of blogging about makeup, fitness and mindset, she also talks a lot about mental health and self-understanding. I'm looking forward to talking all things health and wellness, fitness and mindset in today's episode. Sinéad, welcome to this long overdue podcast.
Hi Brian, how are you?
I am amazing. For anyone that is unfamiliar with the backstory, I laughed because you just tagged me on a post on Instagram to say that we're doing the podcast, and we literally spent the last 20 minutes trying to get a microphone to work.
Oh, actually, like we could, and the, what happened was, like, all I had to do was turn it on and off, and we got it.
That's it.
But this was my manifested microphone.
I love it. Like, and it's funny because when you told me you didn't have a microphone, I'm like, right, if I send her a microphone, I was like, she might start a podcast. I'm like, because I would totally listen to a podcast if you had one yourself.
Yeah, no, because I keep saying, everyone's like, Sinéad, when are you going to do a podcast? And I'm like, I literally last week went on and was like, right, I'm going on Amazon, microphone. And there was like all these microphones. And I was like, oh my God, what the hell? I was like, okay, right, I'll just leave this another day. And then you texted me like, hey, I'm just going to send you one and you can keep it. And I was like, manifested.
There you go. Like, I look forward to the Sinéad Hegarty podcast. Sinéad, we're going to dive into today's one. And before we kind of get into all things positive mindset, some of your favorite topics, etc., tell everybody listening a little bit about your backstory, what got you into the social media world, blogging, fitness, health in general, and putting out such a positive message on social media. What kind of got that all started?
So I started blogging. Well, I don't even know if I was blogging. I was just kind of like, you know, I was getting a few followers and stuff like that at the start, you know, whenever it was all kicking off. I think you remember those days. And then I went, but I didn't have many followers. I had maybe 10,000 before I actually went away to traveling. And what happened was, you know, I was kind of like, as in a relationship, and I mean, we look like Barbie and Ken, we look like the Insta couple. So that was sort of my main attraction at the start. Like, I don't know, those photos just popped off. And then obviously we had broken up because he had cheated on me. And I just found out like a week before our flight to go and travel the world. And we were going to go move to Sydney. So I found out I literally found out on Christmas Eve. And I was like, oh my God, we're literally leaving in a week. What do I do? So I spent that week panicking and panic attack galore and was like, okay, well, I'm going to go. Like, are you going to go? And he was like, well, not if you're going to take me back. So I ended up getting a flight by myself. And bearing in mind, like, this is the time in your life where you're like, you don't show these things on Instagram. I didn't show, like, you know, I broke up with my boyfriend. I just literally was on a flight by myself. And everyone was like, oh my God, where the hell is he? And I was like, oh my God, I can't even face it. I cannot face it. I'm literally in Singapore right now by myself. So
when was this timeline, Sinéad? Just places on the timeline in terms of the year.
This would have been 2 years ago now. So yeah, it would be 2 years of this Christmas. So that's when it all started, like, taken off. Well, I started getting followers on my journeys just because I think I was doing it by myself and everyone was like, what the hell? You're doing it by yourself? Like, go you. And I was like, hon, this was not by accident. Do you know what I mean? I mean, it was by accident. I mean, it wasn't like on purpose that I was like, okay, I'm going to go travel the world by myself. Like, I literally felt like I had no choice, but I just felt like the universe had just pushed me into this and it always wanted me to do this. So then I began my journey because obviously I was like alone, heartbroken, skinned. And then I began the self, well, I was kind of unaware at that stage in Thailand. And then whenever I went to Sydney, I feel like I was kind of hit with a bang then because I was kind of like alone. I had no money. I literally didn't know absolutely anyone. I knew like one person from uni, that was it. So, and I had no job and it was just a bit of a down time in my life. And like, I had no tools to deal with it. Like I had no mental tools. So that's when I began reading. And then that's when I began like my positive self love journey then.
And it's very clear because one of the things, and we talked about this just before we went on air, that attracted me so much to your content originally and is the reason that I follow it so much is the constant self-improvement. Like you're constantly reading, you're constantly trying to improve different areas of your life. Can we stay on one topic for a minute? Just because this has been coming up quite a lot on my social media recently and I'm not probably the best person to ask on it. Dealing with breakups. One, because this is something you've covered on your social media platforms, particularly having had the experience that you had. You mentioned you didn't have the tools or you didn't have the awareness to deal with it at the time. What kind of tools in hindsight or what did you do to kind of come out the other side of it to kind of, because you literally used a really, what would be seen from the outside to say, for the lack of a better term, something bad or a failure, you know, a breakup when you were planning to go away, like from the outside world, that looks like a bad thing. But it actually set you up for massive success down the line because the amazing message you have now is due to that. What kind of spurred and got you over that dealing with the breakup initially? Was there certain books? Was it a mindfulness approach? Was it the traveling itself? What did your kind of journey from, oh my God, what have I done? This was my plan. Now we're broken up. How did you come out the other side kind of personally and from the relationship standpoint from going from relationship to kind of, you know, independent woman for the lack of a better term? What did that look like?
Yeah. So basically, I think my human behavior interest began because I was with this person for 3 years and like we were like in love, like we were like notebook in love, like we were like some crazy notebook love. And, you know, we had broken up and I had no explanation. I had no contact. I had literally never had a single word from him after that. So I had to find out for myself what was going on in his head. So I started being obsessed with other people's behavior, human behavior, and why they do things. So I started diving into a lot of books. I think the first one that really made me understand his actions and stuff like that was Tony Robbins, Awaken the Giant Within. I think I had seen it in your bookshelf there when I was just on schedule.
Literally right behind me, yeah. It's one of my all-time recommendations, yeah.
Yeah, so that sort of began my journey. Now, this is my first book. Or my second book maybe. So that took me a full year, like, you know, to read that because, you know, it's hard to start reading at the start and it's really like a hard habit to like go for. But I think like dealing with values and what I decided after reading that book was, you know, his values did not stand a commitment. His values stood at freedom. Like he didn't know what he wanted. And I always say, people always ask me, you know, do people love you? Like this person cheated on me, but they're still saying they love me. And I truly believe people can cheat on you and still love you. And that's what I couldn't deal with. Like, I was like, I know he loved me. Why would he do that? But basically, you know, if you value freedom over commitment and you're with someone, like you can still love that person. That is why you cheat, because you don't want to lose that someone, but your value is so high up with freedom. And you literally just make the decision to like cheat. And then that's when they freak out. Then when they find out, like whenever I found out, like he was like, oh my God, no, like take you back. And I was like, well, why would you do that? I was like, because he just didn't know his values, so unaware of his values. We're all so unaware of our own values. Like I know now that I value freedom over commitment right now, like 100%. I could, even though if I met someone right now and I fell in love, I could not commit because I value my freedom right now because I can't be in a certain country for longer than freaking 2 months. So, you know, I just learned about values and then I just, you know, when that popped in my head, I was kind of like, oh my God, that's so good to know that. And then I just became obsessed and obsessed and just began reading more. Like the reward of reading and the knowledge just became like overpowering, and I couldn't stop.
Yeah, that book, it's a tough slog. Like you said there, it took you, you know, nearly a year to read. Like, it's a big book, and it's not a, you flick through it quickly. It's a lot of heavy-hitting topics yeah. that make you digest it. But it's a very worthwhile yeah. read. There's, for anyone listening, the Jack Canfield's 20 Success Principles is very similar, and there's an audio version of that. It's generally the recommendation I give. Same kind of message and core. It's not as good as Awaken the Giant Within, but it's got kind of very similar underlying currents and themes. You mentioned the values there. I want to stay on that for a second just because it's really interesting. Is this something you come back and reflect on regularly? Or like, you mentioned that freedom is your value right now. Is that something that, for the lack of a better term, happens by default, where you're like, okay, this is what I'm prioritizing right now? Or do you consciously reflect on, my values are here right now? And you obviously, because they change over time, that's what happens with values. Yeah. But, you know, your core stays the same, but the kind of immediate ones change. What's your process for kind of figuring out what your values are, or, you know, kind of your goal setting process, really?
So it just sort of depends, you know, where I am. Like, sometimes, like, I'm like, okay, I really want to be healthy and get in shape. And that, if that's top of my values, then I usually end up in Thailand because that's where I go and detox. So, but right now, the top of my values is my career. So anything else kind of comes underneath it. So if a man or anything came into my life, I would be like, yeah, this is great, romance and all this jazz, but, you know, you come second best. And I am very, very honest about this. And I think this is the problem with guys. They don't know where their values are, and they're not honest. You know, if someone's honest, it actually works out better. Like, if I'm with someone, like I was with someone in Sydney there, and I was like, I actually like adore you like so much, but this is where I am. And he completely understood it. I was like, I need to go away now and figure out my life and like find my, you know, find like what drives me, what's passionate me. But then, you know, I can always go back to that relationship and evaluate it. If we're meant to be, we're meant to be. So, you know, people are so stuck and like, oh my God, if I leave my boyfriend, he's going to leave me and get with someone else and blah blah blah. And I'm like, well, if he gets with someone else and that person is more suited to them, then basically you've done yourself a favor. And if you come back and that love is still there, still firing, then you can reevaluate, you can go on a date. Like, people put so much pressure on being in a relationship so young, and I just think like, you need to find your true self, because if you're in a relationship and then you start finding your true self while you're in the relationship, and then next thing you're totally different, then you're dealing with a breakup. So you're better to go away and like find you, and then like find your self-love, your happiness, and then come back to that relationship. Or, and if they find someone else, then it was never meant to be.
Yeah, and no, I couldn't agree more with that. To play devil's advocate though, for those that are listening that are on, say they listen to this and they're already in a relationship, guy or girl, because I think what I love about your message, I know you target a lot of females, but it's as applicable to the male audience, because you're getting a female perspective on, like, what I love on your content, you mentioned it already, you're like, guys, sort your values out. Like, and there's a lot of crossover there. But to play devil's advocate, what's your thought process on people trying to become, say, the best version of themselves, or become, you know, more self-aware in what they're doing if they're in a relationship? Do you think that you can do it with somebody else, or is being in a relationship a hindrance to kind of self-discovery? What are your kind of thoughts on that?
No, I feel like you can be in a relationship as well. It's no problem. It just depends where you want to be. Like, a lot of people want to travel and stuff. So, you know, there's no point staying in one country if your partner wants to stay. I actually think long distance can completely work. And I also think a lot of, like, it's, wait, let me think. What was I saying there? So what are people's, I totally believe people can be in relationships and figure this out. Although what I will say, I remember sitting with Siobhan. I know you had a podcast with Siobhan, and me and her obviously went through spiritual awakening, and we were like, can you imagine being married at this point and then your husband not going through spiritual awakening and you going through a spiritual awakening? It would be so tough. But, you know, if you're partners and you bring out the best in each other, then of course it works. Depends on the communication.
Yeah, I think, like, I've always subscribed to the fact that, you know, iron sharpens iron. You mentioned spiritual awakening. This is something that I touched on when I had Siobhan on the podcast. I had her on actually really recently. She's been on twice, last year, 18 months ago, and again recently, a couple of months ago. And she mentioned the spiritual awakening. What does that mean for you? When you say spiritual awakening, can you break that down into language that kind of makes it digestible for people? Because that's a broad topic. And Siobhan even expanded on it, and it went in kind of a different direction to the way I even thought she would. What does spiritual awakening mean for you? And can you kind of expand on that?
So spiritual awakening for me, a lot of people think like you're literally singing Kumbaya at the side of the road with selling hemp. It's not exactly like that. You're not having hallucinations. Like everyone always thinks like they're so scared to touch on it because they think everyone's mad. But it's basically for me, waking up to the world that we live in is absolutely amazing. And it's like, you know, in Ireland, you go to work, your head's down, you're just in automated mode. And I think traveling really brings out a spiritual awakening because you look up and you're like, oh my God, look at the flowers, look at the trees, everything is amazing. And you're kind of like, whoa, what is the world? Like for me, there's so many little spiritual awakenings that I have, but even just looking at the human eye for me, it's something I touch on in my speech. It's like a full picture of what's inside your eye. You're like, a human mother made this in her stomach. And, you know, we think that we just go to work and we die. It's like there's so much more and we're capable of so, so much more. And just being aware of everything, just being so beautiful around you. And just that's all the gratitude that comes around. You look around, you're like, oh my God, thank you for this air. Thank you for everything. And it's just like, it's a, just a beautiful, beautiful way to live. Like it's not crazy and hallucinations and magic mushrooms, guys. It's like a different level. And I would suggest reading maybe The Power of Now for a spiritual awakening.
You mentioned something there. I just want to kind of pull it out just because I don't want to kind of let that go because there's a lot of value here because there's a lot of people listening to this podcast who have connected with you, who connect with me, and they believe in that message of, you know, that positive mindset, spiritual awakening. Like there's multiple words and descriptions you can use for that. How do you stay on top of that? Or if it's something that comes kind of second nature to you now, it's similar to kind of going to the gym. It's really difficult in the beginning and then it becomes automatic over 18 months, 2 years. You don't even think about it anymore. How do you stay on top of it? Or if it is second nature now, how did you stay on top of that positive mindset kind of in a day-to-day process? Did you have any tools or techniques for that? What was your kind of the way for just kind of cultivating that to the point where you're at now?
So when I first began my process, I was in a really, really dark place. Like my head was filled with, I like to call them ants, automatic negative thoughts. And that's from another book, but my head was just filled with them. And when I did the mental cleanse in Awaken the Giant Within, I realized how nasty I was to myself and how nasty like my inner chat was. So I needed to start doing affirmations, and affirmations is something that I tell people to begin with if they're in a really bad place. You know, little things like I am blessed, I am beautiful, I like my body, I love like my friends, like stuff like that is now automatic in my brain. But at the beginning, I had to write those words down and I had to say them out loud because my brain was literally all negative and it had to be pushed out. So little by little, it got pushed out. Little by little, I had solutions for all the negative thoughts. And after like, so just like the gym, it became a habit. After like 6-7 months, I realized that negative thoughts were coming in. I was turning them into a solution straight away and they were going straight back out again. They weren't infesting my brain. Like the ants were not infesting my brain anymore. So it starts off so small, just putting your day a little bit more positive and then make it bigger and bigger. And then it becomes easier. It's literally habits, good habits, and your brain will automatically put it into the automatic part of your brain. And now there's always a solution for my negative thought. Like if I'm feeling lonely, solution, what's a solution? You ask someone for a coffee. If I'm feeling like a little sluggish, like oh my arm feels really fat today or something, like, you know, like what girls think, I don't dwell on that thought. I literally be like, okay, now I go for a walk. Like there's always a solution to every negative thought. If I, you know, even things with work, I'm like, okay, right, I don't know how to make this website right now. Instead of thinking, oh my God, I can't do it, blah, 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 then infest my brain with stuff. What I'll do is I'll go, there is absolute solution to everything. And I type into Google how to make a website. There is a solution to everything. Like we are capable of so much more and there's so much information out there for us. We just need to go out there and grab it.
Yeah, and we found the solution for if a microphone doesn't work on a podcast, you turn off your laptop and turn it back on again. Yeah. Like there's a solution.
There's always a
solution. Yeah, always a solution. I love that message because one of the reasons that I connect so much with your content is because I kind of put out a similar message on mine. Now mine comes from a very extreme perspective, like that what you focus on is what expands, you know, like I talk about it on say the episodes when I ran through the Arctic, when I tore my Achilles, that I'm like, you can't focus on the pain. I was like, you need to focus on another thought. I was like, you just have to condition yourself to do that. And I love your content because it's so, this is what you need to do. It's very much apply this and it'll make your life better. You know, like the ants. Is it automatic negative thoughts? Is that what the ants were?
Yeah,
I love that. Like, that's what you have. That's what's going to happen. If you don't rewire your happiness, like your default mode isn't going to make you happy. You know, your body and mind are designed to keep you alive. They're not designed to keep you happy. Sinead, you mentioned, and I'm going to touch on this, and again, we may expand on it further, but one of the things that you've mentioned, you know, kind of messages like, you know, what's meant for you won't pass you. You mentioned it in the case of, you know, if that person cheats on you, then you aren't supposed to be with them anyway. You mentioned the universe quite a lot. It was something we talked about with you, kind of manifested it. What's your relationship or thought process with, say, the universe, for the lack of a better way of putting it? What's your belief system around that? Are you very much a what's for you won't pass you, I can manifest this? And where did that philosophy come from?
Okay, so this came from my first ever book, which is called Ask and Is Given. It's all about, it's actually a little bit quacky. So, you know, I wouldn't recommend it to be your first spiritual book. But I just thought, you know what, I'm just going to give this a go and see what it feels like. So mostly started off with visualizing, and I would just visualize myself in certain situations. Let me think about my first visualization. Like, I remember being on the treadmill and just visualizing literally being Siobhan, like literally being my protein ambassador. That was my first thing. I used to imagine like myself in the situation, like literally getting photos taken, holding like the gym, wearing the gym stuff, like literally feel myself in that moment. And that was my first ever thing. And then I always used to manifest myself sitting on this balcony and like my friends coming over to this barbecue. And I would just like imagine even like what the cooker looked like, and like little things like that, like being in that deep, deep visualization. And then, you know, that took like a year. And then the next thing, obviously, I became a My Protein Ambassador. And I was like, okay, maybe it works. Maybe it works. I don't know. And then I like remember sitting on my balcony in this beautiful apartment in Sydney. And like my friends came over and I was like, okay, right, I'm living in my manifest. And then I was like, right, I really believe in this. This is really happening. So I would start imagining. And then I remember going to a singles event. And I really loved the singles event. And there was this woman who she was like, she like owned it. And she was like shaking everyone's hand at the end. And I was like, that's going to be me. And then I started visioning myself running a singles event, ended up running a singles event. And then there's just loads of little things that I just manifest. It's actually like so scary. So I have this book of goals. And I just used to write down, I mean, I had like nothing, not a pen. I used to write down my protein, Beauty Works, Pretty Little Thing deal. I wrote down like my own protein snack and all these things. And like I look back at it now and I'm just like tick, 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 tick. And for me, I try not to go into too much about, you know, the spirituality of manifesting, because people get really put off by it and a little bit scared by it. They're like, oh my God, this girl's wacky. But it's basically about putting your frequency and your thoughts aligned. And you have to realize that every single thought that you need to be doing, you need to not be resisting it. So, you know, everyone thinks, oh, you just visualize and then it comes. No, it doesn't work like that. Every single thought has to make you feel better. So, for example, if, let me see a small, so it's basically like, instead of resisting everything, you have to let go of the oars. You're in a canoe, you have to let go and just let it go. So every negative thing that comes into your life, you have to see a lesson, and there is no more why me. When you say why me, that is you resisting. You have to say the universe has put this here for a reason, and I will find any reason in the universe. Like, I was skint, had $20 in my pocket for a reason, right? So I went to the farm and I was doing my farm work, and I had no money. I had nothing. I couldn't even eat. Like, I literally stole a can of tuna. I remember, like, it's so imprinted in my brain. And I was so like, oh my God, like, I'm actually the skintest person ever. And I didn't even know who to call. Couldn't even call my dad. I was so ashamed. When I went to the farm, I got like $4,000 saved. Like, that's all I had. That's £2,000. And I was like, right, I don't want to work for anyone anymore. What am I going to do? I'm going to make a singles event. And, you know, I was like, you know what? I've been skint before and I didn't die. So I was like, okay, so I can just put this money in. If I'm skint again, I won't die. It's all good. And if I get it, then I'll make money and I'll start my business, blah, blah, blah. So obviously I paid that money in. I tripled that money. And if I was never skint in the beginning, if the universe never gave me that skint life, I would have never put that forward. Because for me, the universe gives you things to rocket desires. So like, it tells you what you don't want as well as what you want. Do you know what I mean? People just think like you need all, like the secret for me doesn't really work for me because it's all like good, good, good. But like once you get bad, you have to take that bad and make it good in your brain.
Couldn't agree more. Yeah, I'm going to deconstruct that a small bit because you mentioned a really good point here that I think is very valuable and something I haven't touched on in the podcast in the past. And that's like, you know, I've always subscribed to the idea that, you know, what you resist will persist. Like, and resisting something, you know, resisting a thought and not letting go of it and actually resisting going, no, I'm not letting that in, is not necessarily a great strategy, because the act of resisting something is actually breathing energy into it and giving it life. And it's not the most effective strategy. Letting go is much more effective, in my opinion. But to deconstruct that, just to give people context, and I love that you brought up The Secret, and I have a very love-hate relationship with The Secret. I'm a big believer that if you can see it in your mind, you can hold it in your hand, but I'm also a big believer that you have to do the fucking work, that it doesn't work without you putting action steps in place. So just, yeah, I don't want anyone to lose that message. Right. When you talk about, let's use the MyProtein for example, because you said that you wanted to do what Siobhan was doing, you wanted to have the clothing, the supplements, etc. You clearly put action steps in place around that. Can you use that or another example where you said, right, this is what I want, I'm going to write it down, which I'm a big believer in writing down your dreams and goals. You know, the difference between a dream and a goal is writing it down. And what were the action steps? Just to kind of give people context that, yeah, it's, you need to visualize it and see it in your mind, but you also have to take the action steps. Can you give an example where you visualized it first? Maybe the singles event, it may be the MyProtein, and how it kind of manifested into reality. What action steps did you take? What did you do, or what conscious decisions did you make that allowed that reality to become, you know, manifest into reality?
Yeah, well, I'm constantly working on things, like, but my personality opens up so much with all the different things that I do. Like, when I began, you know, I wanted to be, like, obviously an influencer. I wanted to be a PT. Like, I couldn't even afford my PT degree or anything like that. I was just kind of like, this is what I want. I wanted fitness. So I obviously, like, worked on that. Like, I was on my Instagram all the time doing stuff. You know, I was doing shred diets and doing stuff like that. But it's mad because the more everything that I did new, I was like opening up more, and I was like, okay, now I want to do this. Now I want to do this. And it's insane, because now I'm sitting here writing another speech and writing another seminar. And I'm like, I don't even know how I got here. But if you like, the work itself is basically your thoughts. Like, for me, my first singles event, right, I just remember like all the things I needed to do for it. And, you know, I just remember like being like, oh my God, I can't do it. And you know when I did that singles event? That was when I was reading The Mental Cleanse. So if I wasn't reading The Mental Cleanse, telling my brain to have solutions, like, that event wouldn't have happened. So it's all about literally everything that I wanted to do, like silly things. Like, I needed to get this artwork. I needed to get this thing. But it was like, I don't know who to talk to. I don't know what to do. You know, I could have easily had that mentality. But instead, I was like, no. There is a solution to this thought. I can literally go on and I can find out through people. I can find out through anyone. There's information everywhere. So, like, for me, it's all mindset. And now, like, now I'm doing even more crazy things. Like, I just don't even know. And it's, you know, another thing is, it's insane, like, how your passion can drive you as well. Because, like, I make pretty good money through blogging. Like, blogging is pretty well paid at the minute for me. And, you know, the other week I was doing my speech, and I'm such a nervous speaker, and I was like, oh my God, why have I put myself through this? Why? And I was putting all this work in, and I was like, why have I done it? But then once I did my first ever, it was kind of like a TED Talk sort of speech, and I was kind of like putting all this work in. I was like, why am I doing this? But then once I put myself in that, you know, situation that I dreaded, that is when, you know, I open up my personality, and when I find more in me. And like, that's what really, really drives me. And I keep trying my best to do scary, scary things and try to train my brain to not resist them and to just keep going forward with them. I think I went off on a win there, but...
No, I love it. Like, I think that the message I get from that is that, you know, attacking fears, like, the growth is on the other side of that fear. And I think if you can, one of the things I can always tell a lot about a person is, like, tell me what your relationship like is with failure and tell me what your relationship is like with fear. And I'm like, based on someone's answer to that, I'm like, I can tell you where you're going to be in 5 years, because the person that's attacking the fear and the person that's reframed failure as a positive thing, that this isn't what was supposed to happen for you right now, something else is better down the line, I'm like, that's a person that's going to have a very good life going forward. One of my favorite parts, and I'm going to jump into your Instagram, Sinead, because I love your Instagram highlights. Like, that's probably my favorite part of your Instagram. I was saying before we went on air, like, one of my favorite ones in particular was your sex topic. Like, that had me keeled over. On top of, like, there's actual real value in terms of relationship and sex topic, there's some great delivery on some of your lines in there as well. And you've got things like breaking up with your phone, and fashion to sex and identity. Do you have a favorite topic that you particularly like to speak about?
I love human behavior and I love relationships. Like, I always said that, you know, if the blogging life and the speech life goes down the hole, I'll be doing relationship therapy. But I do relationship therapy every day in my DMs. It's where, but yeah, I love the relationship stuff. But it's so funny because everyone's in my DMs and they're like, okay, can you, like, honestly, you want to see some of the messages, they would crack you up. But I'm just like, guys, I can barely get a text back here and you all want me to give relationship advice. But that's the reason, like, that I seek and that I look into it so much is because, like, it is something that I would struggle with, relationships, commitments, stuff like that. So I would dive into it more. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. You mentioned getting DMs from people about relationships. Is there anyone that jumps to mind from, you know, the past day, the last week, the past month that you're like, I won't mention the person's name, but this was a question I got and this was the answer I gave?
Some of them are actually insane. Like, somebody messaged me once and goes, hey, my boyfriend hasn't come home yet. Should I text him? I'm like, what? Like, I don't know, but a lot of people, honestly, like, I'm just people, like, I don't know, it's actually mad, but I love them. Like, I actually love my followers. I am so lucky to have the followers that I have. Like, seriously, I actually think they're so gas. But one of them, honestly, they're very, very similar. A lot of people date them with being a psycho. We are all psychos as girls, and that is why I delve into the research of, like, being a psycho. I deal with emotional triggers a lot. And I try to tell people that that is an emotional trigger programmed into your brain from a past experience. For example, like, I call it, this is a fortune teller aunt. Say your boyfriend doesn't come home. You're literally like, oh my God, he's with another girl. Da-da-da, and all these crazy thoughts in your head. So that is a fortune teller automatic negative thought that's not even true because you don't have any evidence of it. When he comes through the door, then you literally treat him like in an awful way, which could ruin your relationship. Because of your past experience, you have just, like, caused pain in your relationship. You need to take a step back and realize what is true, what is causing the trigger, and how can I heal from the trigger? So, and, like, for example, like, my mom would never think my dad is out freaking cheating on her in the pub. Do you know what I mean? Because she's never had a past experience of cheating. So my mom would, like, if my dad came home late, she'd be like, oh, are you okay? Like, are you hungry? You've been working all day. Like, she would treat him with compassion, whereas I would treat mine like an absolute psycho because I've been cheated on before. So, like, I like to tell people to try not ruin their relationships and realize and be aware of their emotional triggers and that it's not the boy's fault. And you could freaking drive him to it if you keep going on like this. So I have actually had messages from guys saying, thank you so much, my girlfriend's not a psycho anymore, I just wanted to, she told me it was all to do with you, thank you so much. And I'm like, okay, and now I need to not be a psycho.
with that knowledge, Sinead, tell me, what is your, when, say, the situation sets itself up that you're in a relationship again and you know that this is, like, one of the things I regularly tell people on the podcast, I'm like, there's no the problem isn't the real problem, it's like, how do you handle the problem is going to determine what happens out the other side. I'm like, owning the problem is cool. It's like, if you're insecure, if you're overweight, if you're not happy with your mindset or your life in general, I'm like, all right, that's cool, take responsibility, own it, now you can control it, now you can change it. When, say, the situation happens that you enter into a new relationship again and you know that this is something that you've dealt with in the past and you don't want to carry it forward, what is your kind of preemptive strategies for guarding against that? And the reason I bring it up is for the girls and guys who are listening who have that kind of jealousy or have that insecurity in some form, it manifests itself in different ways for different people. But what is your kind of guard for that now, or what's your plan to stay on top of it now that you know it's an issue that you have, say, with romantic relationships?
For me, it's all about being aware. Awareness is, like, the beginning of everything for me. So as long as you're aware, like, before, like, you would literally just, like, you would get those shaky hands and you would get really anxious and be like, oh my God. Like, but now I'm like, okay, what is this? I'm aware that this is, like, an emotional trigger in my body. I'm literally fight or flight right now. And I need to think, I need to turn around and I try and get evidence of the situation. What is he doing? like, you know, always give that person compassion, the benefit of the doubt, where they could be. Like, there's so many times I don't text people back, or, you know, I'm late for something. So I always think about, like, you know, in compassion, I try to get into their heads. So for me, like, compassion is the best thing. And plus, like, if they're going to cheat, they're going to do it, whether you're thinking crazy or being crazy or not. And insecurity is the worst thing. I can't even describe, like, the amount of people that are insecure. And it is so important to get on that self-love journey, because you got to realize, being insecure will ruin like even the best of relationships, like people being psycho. And it's like, but we all get those thoughts of being insecure. Like, the other day I was at my protein, and, you know, like, there's loads of girls there with, like, amazing bodies, and I was getting really insecure. And then I was aware of the thoughts straight away, and then I was like, oh my god, no, this is just a thought. At the end of the day, I am my energy, I am myself. And if someone, like, didn't like me because of that, then, you know, that's their issue. So if you can't align as friends or a relationship or something like that, then, you know what I mean? It's better to know straight away rather than, you know, being insecure and crazy and trying to hide your true self, like, you know, putting on loads of makeup and just like that. Like, literally show up your true self, be your crazy self, and don't try and change yourself for anyone. And if they like you at the very start, like that, no makeup, insecure, then that's like the best way to go about it, rather than like trying to go in. Because, you know, when you go out with someone at the very start, you go on a date and you're kind of like, you know, if he likes Harry Potter and you really fancy him and he's fit as, you're like, I freaking love Harry Potter. I've read every single book 4 times. Like, it's so true though. Like, you know, it's actually the wrong way to do it. But obviously we do it because we fancy people and we're like, yeah, okay, I love it. So it's just so important to be your true self in your relationships. And, just when you first meet people as well. And that's like, for me, going forward, going into any sort of relationship now, I'm just like, well, it doesn't matter if, like, I'm not wearing any makeup when I go to meet him, or, you know, I'm insecure, because, like, this is my true self. He's going to find out who I am sooner or later. If he doesn't like it straight off the bat, then gone on, hon. Somebody else waiting around the corner for me. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, couldn't agree more. And I think the reason I asked that as well, because I think there's a lot of crossover with family relationships, personal relationships, romantic relationships. And, you know, the only, you know, different element, obviously, in a romantic relationship, there's obviously a sexual element as well. But self-awareness, and I think over-communication, makes every relationship stronger. Like, self-awareness and realizing that, you know, and I've had those same experiences, you know, I've had my same issues of, you know, catastrophizing, you know, things in my head in a, say, a romantic relationship, where you're literally like, that person's out fucking someone else, fuck them. Like, and, you know, that's where my mind would go in certain scenario.
Curse.
Huh?
We can curse.
Oh yeah, you can swear. Yeah, well, yeah, you can totally swear on my podcast. Like, yeah, they're well, like, used to it. You're safe. You're golden. Okay, right, yes. Shit, I've let.
I'm the first thing I always ask.
Yeah, yeah, you know, you're good. If there's any podcast you can swear on, like, I literally recorded an introduction. There was one of the sponsored episodes about 2 weeks ago, and I was literally like 30 seconds in when I said fuck. I went, fuck, sorry sponsors. I'm like 30 seconds into the episode, so, like, it's fine.
Sorry, I took you off. I can't even remember what we're on about. Oh, we were talking about you thinking people are doing things, like, your head, what goes on in your head when you're
bringing that into, you know, every relationship, either family wise you know, I got a great piece of, you know, my daughter's 4, like, oh, I got a great piece of advice from a dad once. He was like, I need to understand myself because my kids are part of me. He's like, the better I understand myself, the better I'm going to understand my children. And I'm like, that's just, it was one of those pieces of advice that just floored me. I'm like, that's such great advice. And it was kind of a throwaway comment, but self-awareness and, like, over communicating, like, I think that's the key to any strong relationship. Like, I've got some amazing friendships similar to you, Sinead, and it's from over communicating. If something is bad or something's an issue, you're like, right, let's deal with it when it's small enough to be solved. You know, if you don't deal with a problem when it's small enough to be solved, you deserve to deal with the fuck up that comes when it grows. Which brings me on to a completely unrelated question, because you mentioned the first dates and Harry Potter, etc. What was your worst first date? Anyone jump to mind?
I've had a few bad dates in Sydney, like, not gonna lie, because I've never actually been on many dates. So in Ireland, like, you don't really go on dates. And I've always really been a relationship. I've always been in a relationship. So, like, obviously, it was my first time really. I've been single now for, like, 2 years. So I've had a few bad, like, literally the guy turned up and 10 minutes before he texted me, he was like, do you want to just watch a movie and chill? And I was like, you're a freaking stranger. I'm not coming to your house to chill. So I was like, you're taking me out for dinner. I am ready to go. He picked me up on a tracksuit. I was like, oh my god, right. Walked into went to the restaurant and he forgot his wallet. And then Then he was like, he went and got cardless cash out, so it's fine. And then he said, I'm not even really hungry. I'm just, do you want to share? So we had to share what my food was. I was just like mortified. And he was talking about, and then the next day he kept ringing and texting me. I was like, how did you think this went well? Like, this is insane. Oh.
So I assume there was no second date there. I assume that was numero uno and that was the only one.
I haven't been on many dates. It's not a thing in Ireland. I don't know up your direction or down your direction, but up here, I don't know. Like, I am so closed off to dates and stuff. I'm literally like, and you know what? I should be doing what I say that I do and do the fearful thing and just go for it. But I'm just like, well, what is the point for me at the minute? Because I'm like, well, I just go away and it's harder. It's hard to date, I think, in my situation.
Well, you travel. Similar. I had a similar discussion with Siobhan kind of more off air that it's like it's difficult when you know you're going to be traveling in a couple of weeks or a couple of months and you're going to be gone. Like, it does make the, and again, for everyone listening, like, you don't have to be in a relationship the same way as, like, sometimes you can't be in great shape, you know, you can't prioritize these things, and there's nothing wrong with that. That's literally just the self-awareness of what's higher on my priority list right now and focusing on that.
I'd love a wee fella though, but then I just don't put myself out there enough, I don't think.
Yeah, that'll, as you said, if with your mindset and the universe coming your way, like, I think that will manifest when it's ready to manifest. You know, I think, yeah, I think that's the case with relationships, and people regularly ask me, similar to you, questions on it. And I'm by far from a relationship expert. You know, I understand human behavior, and that's kind of the height of it. But I'm like, look, if you're going to live, yeah, if you're, you know, late 20s, early 30s, I'm like, you probably have another 60 years to live. You don't need to rush. I was like, you're better off to, like, meet the right person at 45 and spend the next 40 years with the right person than to marry somebody or go out with somebody now and be with the wrong person for the next 60 years. Fuck that. Like, it's like, if you want to live forever, marry the wrong person. Like, because every day will feel like forever.
I know. Exactly. Exactly.
So I'm going to take a slightly different direction now, completely off tangent and off topic. Just, there's some other questions that you can kind of feel free to expand on. These are ones that I generally ask people that come on the podcast, just because it kind of gives an insight into different things that have helped them. And I'm always curious to ask. So when I say the word successful, and I think I might know your answer on this, but I may be wrong, what personality trait or characteristic comes to mind and why?
Now, successful is a kind of a tough one for me, because my therapist even drives this into me, because she's the one that kind of made me go forward with being successful, because at this point I was kind of like just making a little bit of money and stuff like that. And she was kind of like, why are you not using your platform to be successful? What is stopping you? Are you scared? And I kind of stepped back and I was like, oh my God, she's really getting into me. I was like, I don't know. Like, I'm kind of always just been this kind of like skint kind of, and I felt like people, you know, that's just the way it was. That was like I put myself in that identity of just being like, you know, not the normal blogger who has money or whatever. And then she was like, what are you scared of? And I was like, maybe I'm scared of being something that I don't want to be. Because I've also worked, like, my old jobs are all working with rich people. And I've never really, you know, seen their self-growth. I've just seen them, like, I've seen something that I don't want. And she was like, well, she was like, Sinead, you don't have to be like that. And I was like, oh my God, you're so right. I can literally still be me. And then I remember going to Barcelona for the IFS. And I remember somebody talking to me. And obviously, you know, James Smith, I don't know how, like, if you know him or not, but.
Yeah, he's been on the podcast. He's great.
So he's got successful. And something really changed me that week, because he seems to be the same. He's still living his normal life. And his friends were telling me, they're like, oh yeah, he always brings us everywhere, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, that's the kind of success that I want, that I can take my friends along with me. Like, I can do all those things. I don't have to be sitting in a big mansion with, like, you know, but, like, that there was never me. Do you know what I mean? So, like, that made me think, right, I can just go for it. I can get everything, you know, I can do it my way, and I can do it, you know, that aligns with me. I was just scared that it wasn't going to align with me, because I liked, like, for a time I was living in a hut in Thailand, and I had one tiny suitcase with me, and I lived off the suitcase for like a few months, and I had no material items. I just had nothing, and I felt like this was my persona. But, like, now I'm, like, taking it forward, and I'm like, now I'm actually doing my retreats, and I'm taking people on the same journey that I went on. I'm just like, well, this is what aligns with me, so I can be successful, but just in my own way. So being successful is, yeah, just being aligned with who you are as a person. But, you know, and if you make money, it's a plus.
Yeah, that's a great answer. It's one of the funny, we mentioned the Awaken the Giant Within. and we got different messages from the book, because I think that's the beauty of a book like Awaken the Giant Within. You'll take different things depending on where your life is at right now. And the main thing that I took from that book was determining what success meant for me. There's a section and a chapter in there on, you know, what does success look like for you? And I realized that there was a lot of my version of success was automated. It was automatic. It was on autopilot. It was like, you make a lot of money, you have people respect you, you have people think that, you know, you're doing great. I'm like, that's what my automatic success looked like. And then when I pulled it back, I'm like, that's not what success looks like for me at all. And that book challenged that belief. And I think the best books you read challenge your best loved beliefs, or at least challenge your automatic beliefs. And it's funny because you got it from James, who's a great example. Like, I love James. He's back on the podcast again when his book comes out, and he was on last year. Like, a great message, great way of communicating an idea. I know people, he's Marmite for people. Some love him, some hate him. But he's a great guy from any time I've ever had an interaction with him. And it's great to see that that was the message you got. Which brings me on to kind of the next question I want to touch on. And we talked about success, and from the outside looking in, you would have very much a, what people would determine as a successful life. You know, doing well, pretty girl, great attitude towards life, get to travel, great friends. But people generally don't see the things that got you there and the failures that got you there. You know, you opened the podcast with, you know, your boyfriend cheating on you, and it kind of set you up on the self-discovery. Do you have a favorite failure, or a failure, and it may be that one we mentioned and we can expand on it, but do you have a favorite failure, one that at the time felt like the world was crumbling from under you, but later was the best thing that happened to you, or was one of the best things that happened to you? What comes to mind when I say that?
Yeah, I think they all kind of went into one go, because everything happened to me at the same time. Like, you know, I had no friends, I had no money, I had no relationship. But that's when I say I had nothing to define me. So that's when I had to define me. Do you know what I mean? So that was like my point. But that's so funny, because when I came back to Ireland, everyone was like, are you so glad that that happened? And I'm like, I know, it's actually insane, because I feel like that everything came from that one time in my life. Like, you know what I mean? And to this day, I still fight for my thoughts. I still fight for the positive in my life. That's why it's constantly in my brain. Like, I have to meditate. And if I don't meditate, I feel, you know, I don't feel right. I'm always anxious. But the thing about it is that when I'm anxious, for me, as you probably know, it's a freaking action signal. So if I'm anxious, I have all the tools to deal with it. So, yeah, so back then I had like no tools, and then I've obviously learned all the tools now, but I still fight for it. I still fight for my brain. I still fight for my thoughts. I think everyone needs to work on it every single day. And I think people always think, oh, you're so positive, da, da, da. And I'm like, I work on it every day, guys. Like, it has to be worked on. It's like going to the gym.
It's the one of the things that jumps out there, and I'm going to bring it up because it's such a powerful message that you just said, Sinead. Like, one of the issues that I used to always take, offense isn't the right word, but definitely wording, because the wording and the way we speak to ourselves, you mentioned the inner chat, your inner dialogue, like, that's very, very powerful. And people, what used to bother me when I worked one-to-one as a personal trainer was people were like, oh yeah, you know, eating well just gets easier, going to the gym just gets easier. I'm like, it doesn't get easier. I'm like, you get better. I'm like, you're getting stronger. I'm like, you're pushing in the work and it feels easier, but the thing is still the thing. You know, the reality is neutral. The weight is still 40 kilos. You know, the meals are still broccoli and chicken or rice or whatever it is. I'm like, you're just getting better and making better decisions. Like, life isn't easy. It never was. It never will be. And, you know, it won't be in the future. But you get better by providing and upskilling and giving yourself more tools to handle the situations. Like, I love what you said about anxiety there. Like, that still comes. It doesn't go away. I always picture anxiety like sweeping the floor. Like, you can sweep the floor today and it'll be clean. But if you don't stay on top of it, the floor will get dirty again. I'm like, you just get better at handling it by providing yourself with the right tools. And it's something that I'm so glad that you mentioned that, because it's like, people that are listening to this podcast, it's give yourself credit. It's like, give yourself fucking credit when credit's due. Like, if you're feeling better and you had a shit time and now you're better at handling the struggles and the bad things that happen in your life, I'm like, give yourself credit for listening to podcasts, for reading books, for consuming the right information. And it's very clear with you, Sinead, and I love that. That comes back to that self-love that you talk about, and Siobhan talked about it when she was on the podcast. Which brings me to my next question, which is probably going to be the hardest one for you to answer because of your love for books, your constant upskilling and the amount of reading you do, like your page and Siobhan's page are two that I tune into for books, because I'm like, oh yeah, I'm going to check that one out next. Is there any book that you've read in the last 12 months that has most positively impacted your life? You can name two or three if you need to, because I know you're such a voracious reader.
So Siobhan's already mentioned this one, but it was Siobhan that told me to read it, but it's called Lost Connections. And this is just, for me, literally changed my whole life. Now, I was dealing with anxiety, heart palpitations, all this. And I remember going to the monk and getting blessed and being like, he was like, you know, you wish for something. And I wished to heal my anxiety. And I remember listening to that book, walking around. It was an audiobook. I don't do much audiobooks, but I was listening to this in audiobook. And in the middle of that book, that bracelet fell off. Like, you get a bracelet and then it falls off. That's your wish come true. And I knew, like, it just gave me all the tools for, like, I knew why I was so sad for that year. I knew why I was crying. Like, at that moment, I knew everything, what had happened and how to fix everything for me. Because it's basically about, like, for me, it was the loss of human connection, like not making those true connections and having people there for you. And it's like watching porn. It does not satisfy your psychological needs. Like, it doesn't, or your sexual needs. It doesn't satisfy your sexual needs to watch porn. So being on a phone, being connected, does not, like, satisfy your psychological needs for human connection. And that, to me, like, really spoke to me, because, you know, now that I'm starting my business, I am working from my home house by myself. If I start to feel a little anxious and I get, like, I'm like, okay, I need to go out. I need to go and interact with people. So I call my friends. Whereas before, I wouldn't have had that tool. I just would have been like, oh my God, like, I have heart palpitations and I've got anxiety and blah, blah, blah. I'm not going to go outside the house feeling like this today. Whereas I know now there's so many different tools to, like, help me. And it's one of the best books that I've read, because even helping somebody else, if somebody texts me or something, like, I'm like, okay, here's all the causes, here's all the solutions, let's figure out what it is that you need to do today. So that's one of my, I think that book changed the game for me, to be honest. And I love him as an author as well. And yeah, so Lost Connections, I tell everyone. And it's so funny, because anytime I talk about it, I can actually see how many people buy the book. It's insane. So I'm just so happy. And people to this day text me and they're like, you saved my life, you saved my life. Someone even came up to me, somebody came up to me in the shop once and they just hugged me. And he goes, thank you so much, you saved my life. This is Lost Connections. And they ran away, never even told me their name. So, like, that is a bit, one of my favorite books. Yeah,
it's the exact same one that's on my list. Johan Hari, like, he's on the podcast at Christmas. He was supposed to be on in August. I was talking to him last week, and he's just, I can't wait. Like, very few podcasts have I been so excited to interview an author of a book, just because of the profound impact that it had on me as well. Similar to you, similar to Siobhan. It's just an incredible read.
Yeah, I've tried to get him on my retreat now.
Oh, but yeah.
But he's writing another book, like, so he's, like, saying no to everything. And I was like, oh my God, I would absolutely love if he could speak in my retreat. I was like, I will pay anything. But yeah, so I think another time, and maybe get him at one of my events or something like that, because his research is amazing. Like, I just love it.
Oh, he's changing the game. You mentioned one of the things that I took away in Lost Connections, and we kind of briefly talked about this just when we were chatting, is the Lost Connections. And you mentioned a great example, like, porn doesn't satisfy your sexual connection, you know, or your sexual desire, and constantly talking to somebody over a phone doesn't give you that connection that you need with another human being. Do you have any kind of digital detox protocol, or you have a highlight, which I love, about breaking up with your phone? And I know you do it sometimes when you travel, but do you have a process for switching off from things like social media? Someone that's so heavily involved in social media, do you have anything that you do around that, or is it something that you're adding in now, or what does that look like in terms of your personal relationship with your phone and social media?
So when I'm with people, you know, out and about, like, my phone is never, I never fob. I don't know if you know about fobbing. Fobbing is when you pick your phone up in front of someone and you start using it. Whilst everyone is doing it, and it's not seen as rude now, which is ridiculous because it's so rude. So it's called fobbing. And even saying the word triggers you to be like, oh my God, that's rude, I need to put my phone down. So I'll make sure that I'm never on my phone at dinners and stuff like that. Obviously, if work calls, of course. But I find it very hard at the moment because I'm alone a lot of the time. For me, Thailand and Bali and Australia was very easy to do my detoxes there because I'm with people all the time. Now I am quite lonely up here in the country bunkin'. So I find myself being on my phone a lot and I don't like it. So I do have an app called Flipped and it takes away all your apps. For a certain amount of time, so you can time it to 4 hours, you can time it to 3 hours. I do 4 hours a day when I'm doing my work, and then I'll turn it off at night and sometimes in the morning when I'm reading, so I can turn it off for an hour. And I've done digital detoxes before, but I sort of really want to know about your digital detox, because I just found out you take the whole weekend off social media.
Yeah, I do it. And with the exception of the two or three times during the year when I'm running a seminar on a Saturday, I take every weekend off social media.
Oh my God. So you just like don't go on your phone, any social media or nope. anything for a full 3 days, 2 days?
No, for 2 days. So generally I have small daily digital detoxes. So I don't go on for the first hour to 2 hours in the morning, and I don't go on the last 2 hours before bed. But it's the weekend one that really is the kind of game changer for me for a couple of reasons. One, that is normally because I don't work Saturdays or Sundays, like with the exception of the odd seminar that I run, I try and say no to like 99% of events and stuff at weekends because, you know, I have my, like I've got a daddy daughter day with my daughter. It's like a daily day that's just me and her. And what was happening, and actually to give you a little bit, like, I don't think I've covered this on the podcast, but the reason I came up with the digital detox was because when Holly was two, my daughter's four now, she's going to be five in May. And when she was two, I found that I started this daddy-daughter day. So it was a thing that, you know, she picks where we want to go. So we've been swimming for like the last 7 weeks because she's obsessed with swimming at the minute. But I found myself when she was about two and a half, I'd be doing something with her and I would be on my phone. And I got this really weird disalignment on, I'm saying that this person is the most important person in my life, but I'm signaling that they're not, because if they were, I wouldn't be on my phone. And, you know, your actions speak louder than your words. And I realized that I actually had quite an unhealthy relationship with social media and my phone at the time, because I'm like, well, if this is who I'm saying that is the most important person, like my daughter, my mom, my inner circle, I'm like, but I'm on my phone. I'm like, my actions aren't reflecting that. And to be honest, I joked at you last week that I found it really difficult initially. I literally, for the first 2 months, had to delete all my apps every Saturday and re-upload them Monday morning because I would go into them. It was automatic. It was this automatic habit. You know, was it Flit? Was that the name of the FLIT, the name of the app you mentioned?
Yeah, and I would do the same. Like, even when I'm on Flipped, I'm still picking up my phone because it's a trigger. It's horrible.
Yeah, it's so ingrained and it's so automatic that I had to do that, and like I had to literally leave my phone in another room. Now the last 18 months, it's not even a thing. Like a lot of the time, I don't even bring my phone with me. Sometimes if I'm on a car journey and I'm driving, I'll bring it and I'll listen to a podcast or an audiobook because my Audible app is on there. But I don't go into social media. Yeah. It's weird because you may connect with this as someone that's super active on social and you're really engaged with your audience, which is something that I love. You know, you reply to DMs, you reply to people that message, and I do the same. And the reason that I'm able to do that is because I take the weekends off doing that. And it's the same analogy when people have asked me about, you know, how do you get back to so many people on DM, or how do you get back to so many people message you on Instagram, etc. I'm like, it's the same as going to the gym 5 days a week. That's great, and you'll get good results and stronger going to the gym 5 days a week, an hour a day. I was like, if you're doing that 7 days a week, 8 hours a day, you're going to get overtrained. And that's the analogy that I try and bring back to people. I'm like, you'll have a better relationship with it and you'll have better connections with people. You know, Johan Hari lost connections by just taking a day or two where you're not glued to your phone. And that's my process for it. It's just, it was something that, as you said, I found so difficult in the beginning, and now it's just automatic. It's the same as any other habit. But yeah, that's my process for it.
My followers would be like, where are you? Anytime I take the weekend off or I take a day off, like if I only have like four stories, everyone's like, where have you been? You know, like if I go on a date or something like that, I can't, like everyone's like, where have you been? So it's like funny. But you do lose engagement too as well, like if you're not on your phone. So, but I do want to do digital detoxes. But what I was going to do in Bali was I was going to, like, the day I want to digital detox, give my phone to Siobhan and let her do like a takeover, let different people do takeover. So my engagement is still there. And I've got the full day off, but they have my phone.
Clever.
So that was like a good idea for me.
Yeah.
So yeah. That's what I should definitely start, because I definitely, Like I like one of my plans on my like vision board is I'm doing a digital detox retreat, like just like a 3 or 4 day retreat for everyone to not have phones. But the first one will have to be on phones because we have to promote it because it's my first business venture.
Yeah, and that's the something just to kind of give you a little bit of advice and anyone else that's kind of thinking something similar. Yeah, the engagement definitely goes down. Like, again, I noticed that straight away on my Instagram, but it tends to be worth the payoff in the sense that those 2 days, they kind of serve for me as a reset. Like, I had this conversation with Ben Mudge. I know Ben is up around your part of the world. Cystic Fibrosis, Ben Mudge. Like, I absolutely love Ben. And I remember we were having this conversation. He's like, I'm fucking sick of social at the minute. And I was like, have you any digital detox strategy? He's like, no. And then I told him, and he started applying something similar. And it does make you better. Like, it makes you mentally better because it's a bad habit, you know? And every bad habit can be broken.
Yeah. Well, I have another thing as well, but I haven't done it since I've been here, but I used to do it in Thailand. I used to do hashtag read before feed. So I would make sure that everyone puts their phone down for 10 pages before they actually get on with their day. Especially at that point for me was I needed to do that because when I woke up in the morning in Thailand, that was like after everyone had been awake. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. So I would have hundreds of messages. So I was like, nope, I can't deal. So I would like go off my phone until I went on the treadmill and did my DMs then so that I would wait until 11 o'clock. And that was a real, see, that's why Thailand speaks to me so much because there's so much detox going on there. So yeah, but in Ireland, I am finding it very difficult right now, but I think it's because I'm alone a lot. So that's why I'm excited because I'm going to Bali in 3 weeks and I'm going to go back until, and everyone's going to be there and I can go for lunch all the time. No one ever wants to go for lunch from here.
It's such an Irish thing. Yeah. It's we're not the best culture for go for lunch. It's like it was the go for the pint, and then it's like I don't know what the fuck it's become now. It's something else completely.
It's literally just sesh at the weekend, and that's that.
Yeah, it's not the most supportive thing for, again, each to their own. Like, some people love that, and if you do, keep doing it. But you know, for something as someone that kind of grew out of it myself, it's not kind of my. I would be like you, go for coffee, go for lunch. Sinead, before we get on to the retreat, I just have one last question. I want to talk about the retreat and where people can find you on social media. One last one. And I'm curious because I would have said you may go back 2 or 3 years ago, but I'd actually like to go back a little bit further. What advice would you offer your 18-year-old self, knowing what you know now as someone that, and I know there's the you're stamping on the butterfly that it's a case that you don't want to change things because it's made you who you are. But if you were to give someone advice, let's say another person who is 99.9% Sinead Hegarty, but 18 years of age, what advice would you give her?
Oh, you know what? I know that you asked this on the podcast and I still never thought of an answer. So, okay, what advice? And people always ask this my question mark, but I always say about uni, I always say, please don't go to uni without knowing what you exactly want to do. But then obviously going to uni taught me what I didn't want to do. So the universe put that in my way to have the desire. So I would probably say figure out the tools. Start reading, and knowledge is power, because when you have the tools, you can absolutely take on anything in the world and give the world your best. I always say that.
I love it. I think
you can't have the world. The world can't give you the best if you don't give the world your best. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Couldn't agree more. I think that's such an amazing message. Sinead, for everybody listening, tell us about the retreat. Tell us about where's the best place to connect with you on social media. And where can everybody follow you for all things Sinead Hegarty and everything that you're doing?
Okay, so my Instagram is at Sinead Haig, and I just started retreats. They're called Brave Retreats, and they're for solo travelers. You know, a lot of people text me, and they're like, I really want to do what you do, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to make a way that we can all do this. And so basically, like, I'm going to have retreats in Thailand. We're going to be doing fitness. I am doing loads of seminars and workshops. So to do with goals, manifesting, spirituality, meditation. I'm going to have a nutritionist there to talk to you all things calories. And I am going to be taking you on excursions. It's basically like Thailand is somewhere where I awakened my soul. It changed my life, and I just want other people to feel it. So that's called Brave Retreats, and that's a separate Instagram. And that is going live this week. So amazing. And I want to try doing loads of them. And then I'm going to be doing brunches, brave brunches for girls in Sydney, in Australia, who are traveling alone and want to make friends, because I'm all about connection. And my Instagram is Sinead Haig. And yeah, to be fair, I think that's the only thing I use, Instagram. I don't use Snapchat or anything like that. And beware. I always have to tell people to beware sometimes of my, you know, be over 18, please. There's a lot of cursing and talking about sex.
And some of the best.
If I ever meet a guy, you know, if I fancy a guy, I'm like, I can't show my Instagram. You're actually going to think I'm a mental case. And I always say, do never watch my highlights to a nice boy that I fancy, because you'll think I'm absolutely batshit.
But yeah, it's the constant struggle of the world of an influencer. It's like, shit, where does it end and where does it begin? Where's the real Sinead and where's the social media Sinead and like everything in between? I totally get that.
I know. So no, go ahead, follow me and... yeah, don't be scared.
I love it, Sinead. And for everybody listening, I'm going to link all of those in the show notes on briankeyfitness.com. They'll be in the description. I highly recommend checking out the retreats as well. That's something that I'm so glad you're doing and grateful that you're doing, Sinead. I think it's an amazing thing that people can get on board with. And anybody that connected with, be sure to head over and check out that Instagram page. I'll link that in the description, as I said. Sinead, thank you so much again for your time. Thank you so much for all you do. And thank you for the positivity.
Thank you. Have a good day.
Oh, I could have had that conversation for another 2 hours. Like, there's literally so many things you could deconstruct with Sinead, so I'm looking forward to hopefully having a round two. If that's something you'd like, be sure to let me know as well. And as always, if you're enjoying this podcast, please subscribe to the podcast. If you're not subscribed already, please subscribe to the podcast wherever you listen to podcasts. And I'll ask you one more thing, and I'll love you forever, I swear, if you do it. Please leave a review or rate the podcast, because that just helps with the algorithm and gets the podcast to more people. The more people that are listening and you're telling your friends, and the more people that are downloading, the better guests I can get on, and as a result, hopefully it is something that we can just keep doing and moving forward with awesome guests. So hopefully you enjoyed today's episode as much as I enjoyed recording it. I'll catch you all next week.